Wrestling with siblings, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. In the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Life is a fight, so I gotta get right.
Right.
Can't have my back on the ropes.
Never.
This for my sister and bro. I swear that we'll make it, that's all that we hope. Like a stone cold. Get hit with a son of, that's all that she wrote. The world that we live in has made me cutthroat. I started rapping about life just to cope. Now I spit fire like Ricky Steamboat. Straight from the bottom, got so much to gain. I had to grind just to build on my name. People call me champ, I'm feeling like Dwayne. I let it smack down, here comes the pain.
Here comes the pain.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Wrestling with Siblings. I'm your host, Araceli, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
All right, let's get started with Monday Night Raw. And to open up the show, we get Kevin Owens, who basically comes out to say that he is going to beat Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship, for the WWE Universal Championship, I'm sorry, at the Royal Rumble. And right as he's going to continue his sentence, we get JBL, who interrupts, and he's like, well, first of all, you're not capable of doing it. You can't do it. And the only person on this roster that holds a victory, or the last victory, over Roman Reigns is Baron Corbin.
JBL coming out with the straight facts. But again, you got to keep in mind, last time Kevin Owens faced Roman Reigns, he was so close to beating Roman Reigns that if it wasn't for the bloodline, for Jay, and for Paul Heyman, I think Kevin Owens would have been the champion at that time. And I mean, he's motivated, he's coming out with everything he's got, and he wants to get his hands and redemption against Roman Reigns. Can he do it? We'll have to wait and see at the Royal Rumble.
Yes. And then this is when Baron Corbin comes out, and he's like, you know what, you should just fight me. I'm the last person to ever pin Roman Reigns. And that's a huge accolade coming from Baron Corbin. Why nobody has pinned Roman Reigns in the last 3 years? So to be the last man to pin him really holds pretty much the biggest price you could ever possibly imagine. And this is when KO's like, you want to fight? Let's get into that. So Kevin Owens versus Baron Corbin.
That's one of the things that I like about Kevin Owens, that he's always willing to fight and he's always looking for an opponent. And what better way to do it than against Baron Corbin, that has a new manager, which is JBL. And JBL has done wonders with Baron Corbin.
Yes, Baron Corbin starts off very, very strong. He's not wasting any time. He goes right after Kevin Owens, and he knows what's at stake here. He has to back up everything he just said. And yeah, even though he does every single time he comes into the ring, there is a big, big, big target on his back when it comes to being the last person to pin Roman Reigns.
And not only that, but he also has the pressure of JBL. He needs to impress JBL, and he wants to make sure that JBL has all his faith on him. And sure enough, JBL is by his corner, but hey, he has to impress him even more, and in order to do that, he has to go through KO, and he has to prove to JBL that he is that championship material, and that he's got what it takes to take him to the next level.
And you already know, Kevin Owens always gives 110% every single time he is out there. And what did he do? He made Baron Corbin look absolutely golden, and he went out and he proved why he's the number one contender for the Undisputed Championship. And personally, I would really love to see Kevin Owens be the man that beats Roman Reigns.
We'll see. Can he do it? We're going to have to wait and see. And again, just Kevin Owens all around. I mean, he proved it in this match why he wants to face Roman Reigns. He has the aggression, the speed. He wants to get his hands, and he's looking for a revenge. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Owens is the one that dethrones Roman Reigns. I mean, he's hungry for it, and he doesn't care what he does. I mean, after the match, what happened? The bloodline comes out and attacks him, and he takes on all three of them. So he's ready to throw hands.
He definitely is. All right, let's move on to Alexa Bliss, who basically comes out and she's like, you know what? Bianca is afraid of me. That's the reason why she's not here. And of course, we saw the transformation from Alexa going, I guess, back into her old personality of Lily. And to Alexa's surprise, she gets surprised by Uncle Howdy. And wow, you can tell that Alexa was like spooked by what she had just seen. She was not expecting Auntie Hardy to come out and go after her. He didn't really necessarily go after her, but he really proved a point, and he sent a message straight to Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, she was really surprised. She was shocked. She didn't expect them to come out at all. You know, and we'll see where this takes Alexa. I mean, it's very, very interesting. And is she gonna go back to being the old Alexa Bliss, or was she was with the Fiend? Who knows? Because she kind of gives the signals that she's kind of going back, so I don't know where this is going to take her. It's going to be very, very interesting. Let us know what you guys think about Alexa.
It is going to be interesting to see, though, if she's going to play the role of Sister Abigail or if she's going to continue to be the Lily personality, because we know she had a connection to the doll Lily. However, they never really stated if she was Lily or not. So that's going to be very interesting. Let us know in the comments below.
I mean, if you really look at it, the doll that she carries around kind of resembles Alexa Bliss too. Yes. So you don't know what part she's playing, if the doll's going to be Alexa or if it's going to be Lily. We're really curious to see what you guys have to say. So let us know down in the comments below.
All right, let's move on to Bayley versus Mia Yim. This was probably one of my favorite matches of the night. Bayley, absolutely phenomenal. And when you give her a competitor like Mia Yim, she knocks it out of the park. And right off the bat, who is at the disadvantage? Mia Yim. Why? Because she has nobody in her corner. Absolutely nobody. But who does Bayley have? She has damage control, and she could always count on people like damage control.
And see, and that's the difference between both of them. Yeah, Bayley shows a great deal of confidence, but if I have people like that, like the tag team champions on my corner, I'll be confident like that. Why? Because I know they're going to have my back, and I know that regardless what I do, the number game is always going to be there. There's always going to be that distraction. And sure enough, Bayley's just urgent and confident. I mean, what can you do? And I mean, great competitor for Mia Yim.
How much longer do you think Bayley can stand this, though? Because keep in mind, Bayley has been going after gold, but she has been unsuccessful. Who has the gold right now?
Bianca.
No, we have Dakota Kai and Io Sky who have the gold right now. Yes, she's been chasing after that, but she hasn't been able to get there. And we know how Bayley is with tag team partners. How long is she going to keep damage control there? Or how long until damage control snaps and they decide, you know what, this isn't what we want to do. Why? Because who's the leader? Bayley's the leader, but who has the gold? The tag team champions do.
I think the moment they start disagreeing, that's when things are going to start breaking apart. I think if anyone's going to betray them, it's going to be Bayley. Because Bayley's a leader, she's going to claim that she's the one that took him to the top, which I can see why she's going to say that. But if anything, the one that's probably going to turn is going to be Bayley. And do I see it happening anytime soon? I don't know. Probably. It might happen at the Rumble. Who knows? She might get greedy and she might want to win the Rumble and use damage control at the Royal Rumble. Again, you guys know that at the Rumble, there's no friends. Family doesn't matter. It's every man or woman for himself. So I wouldn't be surprised if she betrays him there.
And like I said, she's been chasing that gold, so she's going to do absolutely anything that she can to get her hands on the gold. All right, let's move on to A-Town Down, Austin Theory, who basically comes out and he's like, you have to accept that this championship reign is forever. And he's like, you know where is Seth Rollins? Oh yeah, that's right, he's recovering from a knee injury. And then this is when Seth freaking Rollins comes out and he's like, well, my knee is not 100% right now, but it will be come Rumble, and it will be 100% going into WrestleMania. So big things being said by Seth Rollins. He's coming for Austin Theory.
Yes, Austin Theory better watch out. If anything, I think this is probably going to be his hardest match ever. Yeah, he's already defeated Seth Rollins, but when Seth Rollins comes at you hard and he's hungry and he wants to win the gold back, he's going to do whatever it takes, and he's going to be one tough competitor to beat. He's going to start playing the mind games, Austin Theory, so that's what you got to watch out with Seth Rollins. Once he starts getting into your head, it's pretty much over for you. So, but this new Austin Theory, I feel that he's got what it takes to dethrone this.
Not only does he have what it takes, he is 100% more confident, and he says that when he comes out and says, you know what, this championship reign is forever. I still beat you last week. He's coming out and he's backing up everything that he's saying inside of the ring. And I personally don't see anybody taking the championship from him right now. But then, right when you think it can't get any better than that, you get Bobby Lashley, who finally makes his return back. And you can see how scared Austin Theory is, because here he is being extremely confident that he beat one of the best. But then you have somebody like Bobby Lashley come out and basically goes right after Austin Theory.
He's starting to feel the pressure of being a champion. What does that mean? That once you have a championship around you, you're a target. And sure enough, that's what's happening. Now he has Bobby Lashley after him. He has Seth Rollins. So don't be surprised if another person gets there. He has made a lot of enemies on his way to this championship run. So don't be surprised if there's somebody else involved in this feud with Austin Theory.
And Bobby Lashley, he's one of the favorites to win that Rumble, so it's going to be very, very interesting going into the Rumble to see who walks out with a pretty much a one-way ticket straight to WrestleMania. So we'll find out in 3 weeks.
And also, speaking of the Royal Rumble, let us know who you guys think is going to win the Royal Rumble for both men and women. We'll let you guys know on our predictions episode coming soon to you guys.
Correct. All right, let's move on to Rhea Ripley versus Candice LeRae. Rhea Ripley, man, every single time she goes out there, she absolutely kills it. There's really nothing much that I can say about Rhea Ripley because she's just so good at what she does. Not only are her in-ring skills good, but she proves it every single time she steps foot into that ring.
And I mean, we've seen it. She's another one that's urgent with confidence. Why? I don't blame her. She's got the bloodline. She's got
not the bloodline. She's got the Judgment Day.
Sorry. Judgment Day. And she's got Dominic Mysterio on her side. So, I mean, and not only that, but she has a lot of power on her. A lot of power, which it's really, really difficult to have women match her power in the ring as well. And, you know, she's just confident. Look at the way she beat Candice LeRae today.
Yes, and a beautiful, beautiful suplex by Candice LeRae was delivered to Rhea Ripley. I thought that was absolutely incredible. And you have to give credit to Candice LeRae. I mean, she's come back. We've seen a couple matches here and there, but every single time I see her inside of the ring, there's always something there. There's like the spark that just lights up, and she's ready to go every single time. And she's not afraid to show what she can do inside of the ring.
No, and she proved it tonight as well.
All right, let's move on to Ms. TV. This made the entire night. This was my favorite part of the entire show. We get to see Ms. TV with Dominic, and he comes out literally with the best look we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like if he was gangster fresh out of prison with the teardrop in his eye. He comes out all hardcore. He's got that little swagger coming on. He thinks he's all hard. So, I mean, I got to give it up to Dom. He's doing a great job. I mean, doing a couple days in prison, in jail, whatever you want to call it, I think really served him well. And, I mean, he's urgent and confident. He thinks he's a badass now.
He said it. He was like, prison changes a man, you know, and he's a changed man. And Miz asks him, he's like, hey, so what did you learn in prison? And he's like, that snitches get stitches. And he says it with such a serious face that I am just like, this is by far the best thing going on Raw right now. So props to Dominic. But where does Dom go from here? Obviously, he has the Judgment Day by his side, but we know his feud with Rey Mysterio still isn't over, and he goes out with such confidence in the way he carries himself now. I don't know. Do you see somebody taking down the Judgment Day, including Dominic Mysterio?
The Judgment Day, I don't see them, anybody taking them down anytime soon. I think they're a strong entity. I think they're more stronger than the Bloodline, I believe, just because they got Rhea Ripley, and she's the huge difference maker in it. And then mentioning Rey Mysterio, I think Rey Mysterio and Dominic is not over. I think Dominic's going to want to get his revenge on his dad, especially because they called the cops on him and he put him through a lot by sending him to prison and he changed him. So I wouldn't be surprised if Dominic actually goes and challenges Rey Mysterio or tries to get some sort of revenge.
Yes, I 100% agree with you on that one. And then we get a tag team turmoil, which I don't know if you guys catched it, but the tag team turmoil will be for the Raw Tag Team Championship. Not for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. For the Raw. And I think this is a punishment that I was talking about. I said it, I believe, on our last podcast. It might have been that one or the one right before that. I said, you know, if the Bloodline doesn't stop interfering in Raw, if they don't start hijacking it, Adam Pearce is going to give the Bloodline some consequences. And I think this is the consequences. Why? Because they're not going to be defending both the titles now. It's going to go for one tag team championship, and you got to give it up to the Judgment Day. They start off against Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, and going back a little bit back on the Usos, I think they made a lot of enemies both in SmackDown and in Raw, especially in Raw these past couple of weeks. And I think that decision is great by Adam Pearce, and I think it might come back down to haunt the Usos. We'll see how that happens.
100%. Let's move on to Finn and Priest versus Gallows and Anderson.
What a great way to test, you know, Damian Priest and Finn Balor, then facing pretty much one of the greatest tag teams in the world. I mean, they wrestled in Japan, they wrestled here in the United States, in Mexico, everywhere. And if you're really going to test yourself, what better way to do it than the OC?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And you got to give it up to the Judgment Day. They worked extremely well together, and that they were able to get the win over the OC in this scenario, but you can see how they cut the ring in half. They completely isolated Gallows, and they kept going onto the attack for as long as they could. Unfortunately, at some point, we did get to see Finn Balor kind of hurt himself, and that resulted in him having to step out later on during this match. But then we get Benjamin and Alexander versus Finn and Priest. At this point, Finn is still a part of the match, but again, super quick victory for the Judgment Day. At this point, they're 2-for-2. If they keep like that, they're going to win this whole thing.
Again, this is a perfect example. As this team was put together, each and every single day that went by, they kept on getting better and better and better. And they are proving it in these matches right now. I mean, they look unstoppable. They're well coordinated. You know, no matter who takes each other's spot, the other one fills in and comes in at the same rhythm as everybody else. So that's very, very huge on a tag team, especially one like this. This tells a lot from this tag team that they're united and that it's going to be hard to take them down.
This is where I thought they were going to struggle, when they went up against the Alpha Academy. But they were very smart. They cut the ring in half and they let Gable be inside for as long as they could. Why? Because they knew that the difference maker in this match was going to be Otis. So they stopped Otis from coming in for as long as they possibly could, and that gave the Judgment Day the advantage over Alpha Academy. And I think Alpha Academy came in very, very prepared, but I don't think they were ready for that strategy from the Judgment Day.
No, they weren't. And you could clearly say it. The Judgment Day has been doing their homework on the tag team division, and they got everybody on lockdown. They know what they're doing, and this is a strong team.
100%. And for the very last match, which was the Street Profits versus Dominic and Priest, this is where we get to see Dominic take Finn's spot. So this match, absolutely fantastic. You know the Street Profits. They always give 100% every single time.
Yeah, and again, going back to what I was saying earlier, this is the smart strategy. Finn Balor got hurt, and what happens? Dominic Mysterio comes in. Again, a fresh new tag team partner. That is fresh, that year is going to be hard to take down. So this was a perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Yes, it immediately gave the Judgment Day the advantage over the freshest team on this turmoil. And I can guarantee you that the Street Profits went in prepared for Finn Balor. They didn't go in prepared for Dominic Mysterio. Well, the new reinvented Dominic Mysterio, right? So props to the Judgment Day. I mean, I don't know if Finn was faking an injury, if it was part of the plan. But at this point, I wouldn't put it past them.
Hey, regardless of what it is, it's strategy. And I give them props. And again, defeating a tag team like the Street Profits that have been champions before, that are always up there, but they're always... Lately, they've been short. They're just missing something to make it to that next step. I don't know what it is. I think... Is their time over? I don't think so. I think they still probably need another championship run.
Here's my thought process on Judgment Day right now. Dominic Mysterio took over Finn's spot, which means they immediately become the number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Championships. So, who's going to be the one that steps in for that match? Are we going to get Finn Balor, or are we going to get Dominic Mysterio? Is this going to possibly be a bump in the heads? Because keep in mind, yeah, it's going to be Judgment Day. They're going to be champions regardless. But are we going to see somebody get greedy? Are we going to see Finn Balor, who calls himself the leader of the Judgment Day, is he going to want to be a part of that match so that he can have the gold? Or are we going to have Dominic, who technically won the last match, he's the reason why they qualified? I don't know, man.
I think what they're going to do is it's going to be the Judgment Day, and all three of them are going to rotate between matches depending on who the opponents are and what's going to benefit them. And I do see what you're saying. I think eventually it's going to get to them, and they're going to get greedy. Or if somebody loses, they're going to start bumping heads. They haven't gotten to that stage, but as soon as it does, I would like to see how they're going to react. But most likely, I think that's what's going to happen with...
Now, keep in mind, you have Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is kind of the icebreaker in everything. If she had to decide, who is she going to put in that match? Dom Dom. So that might be something that Finn Balor doesn't like. It's going to be interesting to see who goes on to face the Usos in that match. All right, that is all we have for you guys on this episode of Wrestling with Siblings. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Become a part of the siblings today. And for those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, Armando, what does WWS stand for?
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much, and see you guys next time.